Well, we've been doing the Gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ this weekend. It began with the new birth, an entrance into the kingdom of God by being born again. Now we have permanent access, and he exhorts us to use it freely, boldly with confidence, not sheepishly, boldly with confidence, and speak freely with him. He's your Father. That's the relationship that we have with God now, the living God. It embraces all that the Father freely gave us with Christ, from our calling to our justification and to our future glorification with Christ. Time-wise, it concerns not only today, but the purpose of the ages when we will be glorified together with Christ. And it also includes God's expectation that we conduct ourselves as his children and walk in love while we're living in this world. I want to start today. We're going to talk a little bit about the practical side of the gospel. Go to Colossians. I'm going to read this from the Working Translation, from A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles that Reverend Cummins, others helped put together. I'm going to read it from this. You can follow along or you can just listen. Doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, verse 1, I want you to know how greatly I contend for you and for them at Laodicea and for whoever has not seen my face in the flesh, so that their hearts may be encouraged, united in love, even unto all riches of the complete certainty of understanding, unto the knowledge, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God concerning Christ, in which all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. I say this so that no one may deceive you with persuasive arguments. In fact, even though I'm absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, rejoicing and seeing your orderliness and the steadfastness of your believing in Christ. Verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In all that he accomplished, in all that the Father freely gave us with him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, through believing, and that not of yourselves, that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are what? His workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We spent 4 hours the other morning just talking about all that he's freely given us. And I still had 3 pages I didn't cover of other things he's freely given us. All the privileges we have as his sons. We've got eternity to look forward to. And a lifetime to get into his word so we can mine those gems. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The King James says unto. It's the preposition epi. A better understanding would be upon. It's also used, that preposition, as the basis, the B-A-S-I-S, the basis for. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon the basis of which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are we to walk in? His accomplishments. God created us in Christ Jesus on the basis of his good works, so that therein we may walk. In those accomplishments, there is not one verse in Ephesians 1 through 3 that talks about what we do. Everything is what he has done in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this verse has to flow. It just isn't going to stick out like a sore thumb. What's it say in the next verse? Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called goy, uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were what?
Without Christ.
Without Christ. You had no promise of a Messiah. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Y'all saw the movie Aliens, right? We didn't have anything to do with Israel. Their covenant promises, none of it. Having how much hope? No hope. We were Gentiles and without God in the world. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Go back over there, Colossians 2. Verse 7. Walk ye in him as those who have a root and are built up in him and established in the right way of believing, even as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Watch so that no one leads you away as a captive through philosophy and vain deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the divine nature bodily, and you are completely filled in him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Let me read 10 and 9 and 10 again. For in him, the Christ, dwells all the fullness of the divine nature bodily, and you are completely filled in him. I'll say it's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. You're completely filled. It's all in all of you. The Father has freely given us all things with Christ. Boy, you could read that verse every day and it'd be fresh morning by morning. He has freely given us all things with his Son. If we're going to walk by believing, which he expects us to, we need to accept it. We need to new up our thinking and have our mind be like Christ's mind was. He led his thinking processes captive. Not his will be done, but his Father's. What his Father said, he carried out. So if he says he's freely given you all things with Christ, then you need to rise up and believe it. This is the basis. This is the foundation that we walk in. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by believing, not by our senses. We walk by believing. Everything he's given us is just information. It's instruction, straight from the mouth of God. So if we're going to walk by believing, we're going to have to think accordingly and act accordingly. We have accepted the information, so it ought to have something to say about how we think and how we act. We're God's workmanship, created on the basis of Jesus Christ's accomplishments, that therein, his accomplishments, we might walk. It's tremendous. Romans 10:17 says, believing comes by what?
Hearing,
and hearing the word of God. Not fresh bread. The word of God. That is your fresh bread. Romans to Thessalonians. Now take a look over here. It's interesting, both in Ephesians and Colossians, it starts with circumcision, and then in Colossians goes to baptism. The first ordinance you read of in the Bible is circumcision that God made with Abraham, who was the father of Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 children of Israel. Circumcision was the first ordinance you read, and baptism is the last ordinance you read under John the Baptist, which announced who the Christ would be. We're completely filled. Completely filled. It's all in all of us. We're as He is, from first to last. From the circumcision made without hands to the baptism, not like John, but with the Holy Spirit, when He raised Him by the power of God from the dead. That's Colossians. We got to walk into it. We walk in these things. That's the foundation. Go over to Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yourself, a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable, your spiritual, logical, reasonable service. And be not conformed to this age, it's A-I-O-N, it's not cosmos. Be not conformed to the times in which we live, this age. And it's called an evil age at other places in the scripture. But be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You accept the information God has given you and you stick it in here. You record it. You memorize it. You get it in your heart so you might not sin against Him. We ought to be more concerned with having our hearts prepared to seek the Lord than we are with the popular things going on in our culture. Be more concerned about your heart and what God has done in Christ and getting it in there to the end it transforms us. So that you may prove, dokimazo, I think, isn't it? So that you may prove, just like you would assay metal or precious jewels. You put the gold and the silver in the fire and it purifies it. So that you may prove. It's not talking about testing it out to see if it works. It's talking about putting it into application so you get the results. That you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing, the word acceptable is again well-pleasing, and perfect is the word mature, the mature will of God. We don't want to remain babes a lifetime. We do not want to have His seed in us. We want to walk in the reality of what He's accomplished. We want to walk on the basis of His accomplishments. We want to walk in Christ Jesus our Lord so that power from on high is demonstrated by the manifestations of the Spirit, by the love of God and kindness in our hearts, by the authority of His Word. We want to walk as the children of the living God. Our prayers are powerful. So pray. The manifestations of the Spirit were given to every one of us. As part of that, He freely gave all things to us. So the youngest babe to the oldest disciple has the same ability in that birth. There is no segregation among the members. There's no inferiority of some members and superiority of others. We are completely filled in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what do you want to do with it? You can be transformed or conformed. You only got two choices. You're going to go the world's way or you're going to go the Father's way. If you go the Father's way, you're going to accept the information he gives, embrace it, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove the good, well-pleasing, and mature will of God. Do you raise your kids to stay babies in diapers a lifetime? Oh, hell no. You want them out of the house as fast as you can get them out of it. I'm sorry. You want to raise them up so that they're mature. Of course you do. Well, God doesn't want any different. He wants us to be like his first begotten son. He was pretty mature. He sought his Father's will, not his own. He did those things that pleased him, not himself. He was willing to change his mind over and over again. And his ear was opened so that there was free communication, because he stayed in close contact and fellowship in that walk with his Father. Well, fits better here. Look at John 15:5. Jesus Christ told his disciples, 15, verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." What a statement. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do how much? Amen. Well, if Jesus Christ couldn't do anything of himself, we surely can't. It's in light of his accomplishments. We have to abide. We have to walk in that relationship. It's not just that God has given it all to us. Now we need to walk in it. Now look over at Philippians. Without me, you can do nothing. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Philippians chapter 4, it says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Without him, you can't do a lousy thing. With him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Then it would behoove us to walk in Christ Jesus our Lord, in his accomplishments. You can't walk in a name. You can't walk in the man, so the man's name must be put for what the man accomplished. If you're going to walk in Christ Jesus the Lord, you're going to have to walk in what he made available, what he accomplished. And the Father freely gives us all things with the Son. That's a big one to rise up to. You don't get it through sin consciousness. You don't get it bringing up the past. You don't get it by comparing yourself to the guy sitting next to you or what so-and-so is doing. You got to be attentive to the Lord, what he accomplished, and you can only get that from the Word, and then you rise up to believe it. You accept the information, you hold it in mind, and you practice accordingly. Well, that would cover the subject, but I got to keep going here. I got time to fill. I'm just kidding. Take a look at Romans 15. Probably do this in reverse order or something. I'm not good at following my notes, as you've noticed. It says in 15:1. We then that are strong, the word strong is able, we that are able ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, those who are not able, and not to please who? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, for one end, for edification, to build them up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached God fell on him. Verse 4, 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through a patient endurance and comfort or encouragement of the scriptures might have what? Now the God of patience and comfort, the encouragement of the scriptures from the previous verse we read, grant you to all be on a different page. Everybody doing their own thing. They're free in Christ. No. Be like-minded one toward another. What's the standard? According to Christ Jesus. Because we're to walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. That you may with one mind and one mouth do what? Glorify God. We ought to be more concerned with our personal desires than the Father's desires. That's why we have a life of prayer. We get up and say, Father, what can I do today? What would you have me do today? I used to sell real estate that way. Worked pretty well. I'd pray till I got an answer where to go that day, and I went when interest rates were 22%, and I sold a house just about every day. Yeah, nobody else out of 50 agents had sold one in 6 months, and I did it as a rookie. So the boss asked me to share with the rest of the company how I did. He was thinking of the training he gave me. I said, you sure you want me to do that, Leroy? Oh, yeah, I couldn't talk him out of it. I said, all right. So I got up and go. I get up in the morning. I sit there and I pray every morning until God tells me where to go. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Sometimes I'm there for 2 hours. I go and I wait. And a buyer comes by. Behold. And then I do everything Leroy told me, and I close the deal. Had to get Leroy in there somewhere. That's cool. That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How do we receive one another? The same way you got received. He didn't turn you away, did he? Thank God. Boy, if he's going to turn somebody away, I'd have been in the head of the class right there. Thank God for his grace. He came to save sinners, Paul said, which I would be in the same category as chief. I was good at it. But he showed compassion. Go back to chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You're just dust, okay? If God wanted to, he could have raised up stones to be his kids. He came close. But here we are. Don't think more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, soundly. What's the standard? According as God hath dealt to every man the measure to be believed. The measure of faith, believing is put for the foundation that it's based on. What measure do you have to believe? The same measure I got. The Father freely gave me all things with Christ, same as he did with you. The Father completely filled me in Christ, the same as he did you. It's all in you, the same as it is in me. No superiority, no inferiority. We're all on an equal playing field with the Father. Daddy, children. Do my wills, kids, not your own. So we grow. in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trip, right on His Word, day by day. How? In the love of God. That's why Doctor used to teach in the class, you get born again, you renew your mind, just live love. That about covers the issue. I had a clergyman ask me, I think it was in Chicago, he says, how come you don't spend a lot of time on the practical side? I said, well, if you live love, it about covers it, doesn't it? If we walk in the love of God, what am I missing? Isn't that where all the epistles go? I believe so. As a matter of fact, keep reading here in Romans. But we have many members, verse 4, in one body. All members have not the same office. Function would be a better word. We all don't function the same. We don't serve in the same capacities. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. He uses these illustrations to teach us something. We're to have the same care for one another. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God forgave you in Christ. Imitate your Father. So we, being one body, verse 5, in Christ, everyone members one of another, having then charismata, differing gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, will prophesy according to the proportion of your believing. Or you've got some other way of serving? Well, get busy serving, ministering. He that teaches will get busy teaching. He that has an exhortation service in the body, start exhorting. He that gives, let him do it how? With simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. You don't just play the role. It's not like the Romans who had their actors had the happy face and turned it around and then they got the skull. You don't play the part of a believer. You are a son of God. Now you live it. In all the integrity and simplicity of Christ. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. White hot, fervent in the spirit. Serving who? The Lord. Rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, the afflictions of life, continuing instant in prayer. He covers so much with so few words. Distributing to the necessity of saints. They're going to receive an abundant sharing this morning. People look at it sometimes not exactly accurately.
Well, you're not in the law anymore. You ain't got to give.
It doesn't say that. The way God looks at giving, He looks at it as a partnership between Himself and you. Last week, I was teaching on service. A doulos, for example, was a bonded slave. An Israelite could own a bonded slave, another Israelite, for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, that bonded slave could make a decision to go out on his own or to stay there and serve his master for the rest of his life. If he goes out on his own, the master was responsible to set him up, to give him liberally of all that bonded slave helped bring in prosperity to his household. He was to take care of him. He wasn't to go empty-handed. He did that to teach us how God takes care of us. It's used in other places to teach us just that. You're in a sharing relationship with God and His Son. He wants to take care of you. When you read Malachi, that was at one of the darkest times in Israel's history, both spiritually and politically. And yet, that's where he uses, say, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive. The only other place I can read of about those windows of heaven was the flood with Noah. Just, you got to receive. That's what you've got to do, is just receive. It's a partnership. You're his kids. He's not going to send you away empty-handed. That's free. $50 special today. Boy, when we see needs among our brethren, we just ought to take care of it any way we possibly can. Most of us are getting older. All of us are getting there sooner than others. It might just take some physical help. Go over and help them out. It could be your share of your plurality, those things that you don't need. You may give them money. Take care of people, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Give them the hospitality. Hospital comes from the same word. You put people back together. That's what hospitality is supposed to be about. It's not Christian manners. You take care of people. Bless them which persecute you. Oh no, hell no, man. I ain't doing that. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and what? Damn it. No. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be all things to all men. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Big push for that today. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. That's not in your job description. Big Brother's got that job, and he's going to do a bang-up job with it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath to come. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord, and he is. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. Who? Your enemy. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It's an Orientalism. In the morning, they would have a town fire, and all the ladies would go get fire for their home fire from the coals of the town fire. They'd carry it on a pot back to their house, and it would warm them. That's what it's talking about. As they carried those coals of fire, who would heap coals of fire on their head. It would just warm them. He's talking about warming others with your love. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. You know 13, it's not talking about the police. It's talking about men with ministries that God set in the body as he deemed fit. Look down at verse 8. No, owe no man anything but to what? Love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Love works no ill to his neighbor. You don't use people. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the what? Fulfilling of the law. Look at the Gospel of John. I gotta find it. 13. It says in chapter 13 of John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that must have been a hard time for him in his mind, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. That word end, it's not talking about the end of his life. He loved them to the furthest extent possible. Because he goes on to wash their feet, which is the lowest service rendered by a servant in a household. And Jesus took his outer garment off, put on his towel, went around and started washing their feet, showing them that he was willing to do the lowest service to love them. At times, the host himself would take this position to demonstrate how important his guest was to them. And he did this for his 12. And he gets to Peter as usual. Peter, oh Lord, you're going to wash my feet. He says, well, I don't wash your feet. You have nothing to do with me. Not my feet, my hands, my head. Go ahead, Lord. Get her done. He says, you don't need washing all over. Because you're clean, but not all. Knowing that Judas was going to betray him at that very meal, he washed his feet. And then he gets to the end of the object lesson. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? And they're, oh yeah, sure we do. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to show the same service and love to one another as the Lord showed them. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. There's no difference between the service of a servant and the service of a son. Service is service. Our legal standing may be different, but the service is still carried out as service. And the service he's talking about is loving to the furthest extent, to the lowest possible thing that could be required of you to take care of your neighbor in Christ. He even goes further by saying at the end of the chapter, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you will love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. To love like the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have a little bit of that ability that he had, which is Holy Spirit. And if you've got that Holy Spirit, then you can love as he loved. You can stretch forth your hand and touch the leper and he can get healed. You can take that woman taken right in adultery, and you can forgive her sins. And you can love her. You can be all things to all men because of that Spirit of God begotten within you. You've got the ability. Now you can love as Christ loved. You know what color love is? It's brown. Because it's not, it's willing to get its hands dirty. in that service of love. Let's see. Well, I jumped around, forget them. Go to Ephesians. I waste the time writing stuff down. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith you were called. Vocation should be translated calling. The calling wherewith you are called. You see that? We ought to walk worthy of the calling in which we were called. Remember, he called us. He justified us. We ought to walk worthy of that calling as the children of God. We ought to be good sons who do the Father's will. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in what? That means putting up with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That would better read, endeavoring to guard the unity that is from the Spirit. It's in the genitive case, and it's the genitive of origin. Where does the unity come from? The head, down. Well, we ought to guard that unity which he has accomplished. Endeavoring to guard the unity that is from the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. That's hard to do at times, isn't it? We ought to work at it. Then we've got the usage of one carried out through these next couple verses, and it's the same in usage as the article the. Remember I told you the article the can be used with any part of speech, and it singles something out as unique, as one of a kind. Well, the word one here is used in the same way. It says there is one body. What body is that? The body of Christ, of which we're all members, making us of the household of God. There's one Spirit. That's one new birth Spirit that God gives to every single child of God. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. How many hopes are there? Only one, and that's in Christ. And has different stages, but he's going to carry out that one hope until all of God's purposes are accomplished. I didn't tell you this last night, but in 1 Corinthians 15, while I'm thinking about it, take a look over there. We'll come back here. I always leave you hanging, don't I? 1 Corinthians 15. Says verse 23, speaking of Christ raising the dead, every man in his own order or progression. Christ, the what? He's the first fruits offering. After that, afterward, then they that are Christ's, when? At his coming. Every single time he raises the dead, the resurrections, the dead in Christ, the gathering together. The martyred saints during the millennium, his thousand-year rule, he raises them. He raises and separates out the just from the unjust at the great white throne. All deliverance from death comes by him at his presence. Then it says, then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's what he takes his time doing during the 1,000 years. And he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then death, the second death, will be cast into the lake of fire. For he hath put all things, God has put all things under his, Christ's feet. But when he says all things are put under him, Christ, it's manifest that God is the exception, which did put all things under Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto God that put all things under him, Christ, that God may be what? All in all. Now that's a good son. That's one dedicated to carry out his will, till every enemy is subdued, till all things are fulfilled. It is done, Father. Your baby now. You see, we have the accomplishments in the resurrection. There are more to come. We have everything we need for salvation. Go back over to Ephesians 4. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, the gathering together, the day of redemption, the disappearance, the departure. Verse 5, there's one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, divine favor, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's the measure we're to believe. That's the measure he has given us to believe. That's the walk. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Look at 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul writes, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. I'll go up to 4, that's pretty good. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of what? Who hath made us able ministers of the new covenant. Testament is covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what? If the ministry, says ministration in the King James, if the ministry of death, that of the old covenant, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministry of the Spirit be more and more glorious? It's malon dei, the word rather. Be much more glorious than that under the old covenant. And boy, they saw, it was a covenant of marvels to them. They saw God do things that nobody had ever seen. How'd you like God to hold off an army with a tornado of fire or with a cloud? And then part of sea, and Moses raises his staff. What do I do, Lord? Raise your staff. Okay. Moses didn't part the sea. God did. All Moses did is accept the information to raise his staff. And then he had to get somebody to help him keep it up there. That's how impotent we are. But God parted the sea, and 2.5 million people walked through on dry ground. I read one article by an astrophysicist that said that water would have had to stand up nearly 30 miles high for 2.5 million people to trip across that on dry ground. It wasn't wet. We used to clean the pond at headquarters. Hell, you'd sink to your knees for a month later. They walked through on dry ground. That's our God. He fed them with manna for heaven for 40 years. That wasn't good enough for them. He gave them water out of a rock. We can't do these things. He can. We want to stay tight with him. That's right. If those marvels that he produced under the old covenant were glorious, he says that the marvels we have under the new covenant are much more glorious. Only one Moses had that spirit so that he could get that information to accept. We've all got it. We're all enabled men. We all have all nine manifestations. So you can have the ability, but not everybody pursues the word to the place that they become confident and fluent in their operation. Start in Genesis, you go through, you see how men walked with God. The only difference is we got a few more than they had. We can speak in tongues and interpret. But the others operate the same way as they always operated. So the more information that you assimilate, the more that you get it up here, the more you can walk in it, the more confident you will become. Because God has worked this way with men ever since the beginning, with human beings. The difference is, we have much more available to us than they had under the old covenant. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. Now we can do all things. Without him, we can do nothing. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that exceeds it. Excels, exceeds it. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. The much more ought to be before glorious. I'll read it again. For if that which is done away was glorious, that which remains is much more glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their thinking processes, it says minds, noema, their thinking processes were hardened. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the old covenant, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, because they don't have that new birth spirit. Nevertheless, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How much freer could you be as a man or a woman who walks with the living, the true God as your Father? How free was Christ? You're as free as he is. You don't even have to fear death. You can stand up in the face of death knowing that you're going to be raised the same as Christ was. And it's only a thought away. Verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, open, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you are transfigured, changed, transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, from the glory of the new birth to the glory of the inheritance at his coming, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That which we got in the new birth is a down payment. It's part of the real deal. We're just going to get the new physical things to go along with that spirit. Get those glorious bodies like his. So as we received Christ Jesus the Lord, so we can walk in him. And the only way I know to do that is to walk in love as Christ loved. Give you one more verse and then we'll take us a half hour break. Then we're going to come back and do communion. I don't want anybody leaving this weekend that has a need that wasn't taken care of, physically, mentally, spiritually. I want you leaving here made whole in every category of life, that you have greater confidence in God, that you have a greater assurance of the things of God, and the peace of God ruling in your hearts. Where did I say go? Huh? Oh, no! Ephesians, one more verse. Ephesians. Four thirty-two. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ hath forgiven you. But be ye therefore followers of God, it's imitators of God. He's the Father. We imitate God as beloved children. Dear can be translated beloved, it is in other places. How do we walk? Imitating Daddy, Daddy, as his beloved children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We don't stink in his nostrils anymore like those idol worshipers. Jesus Christ's offering were those sweet odors of incense, because he was doing the Father's will. And we are to live our lives as living sacrifices that are well-pleasing to the Father. So that's how we live the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. It embraces everything from the new birth to the inheritance that's coming. And everything in between, we walk in love. Father, thank you for your goodness, your great grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you, Father, for showing us your favor. Thank you that we're your children and we can walk and talk with you. And thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us all the days of our lives. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We're going to do communion in a second. Before we do, I wanted to read you a little of the word, as my manner is. You can go to Isaiah if you want to follow along, or you can just listen. Doesn't matter. I'm going to read several sections of several chapters. We don't have anywhere to go, do we? We have airplanes we got to catch or anything? Okay. Because you're going to get healed and blessed. But these are prophecies that God gave Isaiah concerning the Messiah that was coming for Israel. Mystery wasn't known yet, but we made it in with them in the new covenant because of the mystery. In Isaiah 42, I've alluded to these verses all weekend. He says in 42:1, behold my servant, he's speaking of Christ, the Messiah, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. This is God speaking. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry or strive, you know, be loud, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. A bruised reed would be flute. A flute they made out of reeds. And he wouldn't just, if it fell or it got bruised or something, they wouldn't toss it away. They'd pass it on for generations. They'd repair it. The Messiah, the Christ, it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, smoking flax, that's when you get to the end of the candle and it kind of spurts and smokes and all. He won't put it out. In all of our desperations, our weaknesses, our infirmities, he's not going to just overlook it. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee the Messiah in righteousness or justice, and I will hold his hand and will keep him and give him for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I, the Lord, that's my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things that he has spoken have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I'm telling you about them, he says. Go to chapter 49. We could read all the way through. But go to 49. This is the Messiah speaking now. Listen, O isles, unto me, the Messiah, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me, the Messiah, Christ, from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Ever seen that before? Look up here. Thank you, George. And made me, I got it in there. And made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, to Christ, the Messiah, thou art my what? He was a servant son. O Israel, he uses the title Israel for the Messiah here. Israel means Prince of God. And he said unto me, the Messiah, thou art my servant, the Prince of God, in whom I will be glorified. I can't hardly take it. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it's a small thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, that's the Messiah, Christ, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, and princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, and an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. God was giving Jesus Christ for a covenant of the people, Israel, to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Thou that mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. And on it goes. Go to chapter 50. God says in verse 2, the second part of the verse, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there's no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God, now Messiah speaks, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair with their whips. I hid my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall over that condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, the Messiah, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. In the east, they get up in the morning after they had the town fire. They'd have a little rope, a little wax, flaxen rope, and they would wave it in front of them as they walked to work so they didn't get thorns in their feet. Didn't always work. That was their own sparks. They just walk by the sparks of that little flaxen rope they wave in front of them. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you've kindled. This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, you're not going to go too far on your own without me. You'd be much better off walking in the light of my word than in your own sparks. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. The word is prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Should read, so shall he cause many nations to leap up with joy. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. They're going to be dumb with astonishment. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, the Messiah? He shall grow up before Jehovah as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. It says that because David's line was almost extinguished from which he came. He hath no form nor comeliness, no beauty. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we will desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Speaking of Christ, surely He hath borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our inner perverseness, our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He went through all that mental anguish so that we could have peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Messiah, Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken by oppression, and by judgment he was taken away. It was demanded, and he became answerable. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his deaths, plural. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul a sin offering, he shall see his seed. Should read, his seed shall see the kingdom of their Messiah. God shall prolong his days, everlasting life. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, the Messiah's, and be satisfied. Unbelievable. Just can't read it. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's what the Messiah did for Israel. And by the grace of God, the Gentiles share with them in the promise of all he accomplished. We're joint heirs with them. We're members of a joint body. And we share in the promise of the gospel jointly with them. No segregation, no inferiority between Jew and Gentile. We are the household of God. Really simple. So the last night the Lord Jesus, before he was crucified, he took bread. It says in verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you." The word broken's not in the text. He never had a bone of his body broken. "This do in remembrance of me." This is for your healing. "And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. All the blessings of the new covenant are in this cup. So I'd like you to uncover your bread there, pinch yourselves a piece off. Get your wine ready. Y'all got bread? All got your cup? When you eat this, we walk by believing. Jesus Christ, with those hairs that were plucked off of his back and his cheeks, with those beatings that he took, it was for your healing. We receive those benefits by believing. We accept the information. It's God's job to do the delivering. Eat health to yourself. Just thank God for your physical deliverance and your peace of mind. In the same night, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim what the Lord accomplished by his death until he come." Drink the new covenant made in his blood. Now I'd like you all to stand. Just join hands. Just all move in so you can join hands. Father, we thank you for your wonderful goodness to us as I administered the new covenant in remembrance of your son's accomplishments, for the healing of our bodies, Father, and all the blessings of that covenant. The way that you removed the curse and you've accepted us as children of Abraham, that by grace you have imparted all these blessings to us, and that every time that we eat this bread and drink this cup, Father, you go to work, performing what you have promised. You have healed us, Father, through Christ. You have forgiven us our sins, and we have peace. And all the blessings of that covenant are ours to claim and to walk in. And I thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy, for your long suffering, for your tender mercies, Father, that we can walk into with you until we see your Son face to face. And then, Father, thank you for the exceeding great treasures and riches that you have for us in him, that you're going to display in kindness to us in Christ throughout the ages. And thank you for all of your people as they travel home, for their safety, their protection, and their blessing. And Father, just be with them and lead them and guide them all the days of their lives. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.